Good morning, good morning. We are dancing in with Soul Mikasa, Mano Dibango. This is Charlotte Farrell, your own Sister C, right here in the place to be, CJSF Radio 90.1, with your Friday Speak Up Show. Have we got a treat in store for you. My treat this morning, you're going to be delighted. We have the artistic director, festival director, co-founder, and a co-curator of the Transform Festival, Corey Payette. There's a picture of a cast of actors holding his titles to the left. Corey is a member of the Matagami First Nations with French, Canadian, and Irish ancestry, and he lives on the territories of the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh people. It's also where our show, I'm grateful to say that our show is produced on those lands, and we are part of working to support the acts of reconciliation and uniting of people with their lands. Corey, tell us a little bit more about you. You have got a very interesting history for deeply moving, large-scale musical creations. You have some exceptional new things that are happening this year. So introduce yourself and tell us a bit more about Transform.
Oh, well, it's so great to get to talk to you today. Ani, Corey Ndishnikas, my name is Corey. Yeah, I'm a member of the Matagami First Nations in Northern Ontario, and I live here. I've lived in East Vancouver for most of my adult life and have been creating on these territories for almost that entire time. A lot of my musicals are large-scale musicals that feature a lot of Indigenous performers, Indigenous actors, and singers, dancers, and they look to insert Indigenous perspectives and stories into mainstream spaces. And so this year, us having the Transform Festival at the Vancouver Playhouse, you know, it doesn't... I don't know that it gets any bigger than that, you know, right, in Vancouver. And I also don't know... how much like Indigenous, like live theater, live music happens at the Playhouse. And so I hope that this is something that becomes more common and that hopefully is a beginning for Indigenous communities to be able to go to the Playhouse and see works that, you know, help to tell our stories.
I know you said it's going to be igniting conversations that inspire social change. Tell us so people will know, when does it start and how do they get tickets?
Yeah, all the tickets information are at transformfestival.ca. The Transform Festival is 4 nights, so I hope that people will get their tickets, you know, in advance. The night starts November 6th, 7th, 8th, and 9th. So the opening performance is something that we've done in the past with our bash, which is a big opening night bash. It's a giant variety show. It's hosted by Canada's Drag Race Season 4 winner, Venus, and also our protocol keeper and member of the Musqueam Nation, Willemia Sparrow. And so they're really our MCs for the night, and they're going to be taking us through a group of different acts. So we have circus, we have dance, we have music. A band called Pilk Silk is going to be there. They're quite popular in Indigenous. They do throat singing and also electronic music. And so it really is there will be something for everyone. But ultimately, really what we're looking for is for people to come together and create a relationship, create an experience, something that you can't see anywhere else and where people will be, you know, buzzing about it after the fact. There will be drag. There will be, you know, ballroom, like voguing ballroom. And also just a great deal of fun. That's the first night. So that's November 6th. The second night, we're doing something called Circus Ball, which is basically a mashup between circus acts and ballroom voguing culture.
Circus acts and voguing culture. Tell us a little bit about how that is Out plays out.
Well, what we've been, we have a group of different artists from each of those communities that then collaborate with one another to create acts that are shown throughout the night. So, and those are being created right now. So they're in the studio working on those and really pulling together a whole tapestry of different experiences that will surprise and really just inspire audiences. That night is hosted by Ralph Escamillan, who's a huge name in the Vancouver ballroom scene as Posh, and also will be featuring circus acts like Cito Adamson, and the cast is huge. It's about 15 different performers on stage, and all of these are new, or most of them are new creations that they're going to be sharing for the first time with audiences. So that's really exciting. And then on the third night, on November 8th, this is a concert that I'm hosting called In Spirit, and really it was. November 8th is the National Day for Honoring Indigenous Veterans, and we've compiled a group of different songs that are from different Indigenous composers, but also some music that is about honoring veterans that is, you know, going to be really beautiful, because it's just a way of holding space for Indigenous people's stories and histories that, you know, that are sometimes not given the same sort of weight as other stories. And so we have Corleone, who are performing with us, who's a giant choir here, a professional choir here in Vancouver, and also Vancouver Youth Choir, who are really one of the leaders of this kind of work. They've been singing a lot of Indigenous music and actually have helped to commission arrangements of Indigenous songs. So it's so exciting to be able to have that all happen in one concert, because this work has been performed all around the world, but it's rare to get to see it all happen in one concert and at one place. And so that's what will happen at the Playhouse on November 8th. And then the final night of November 9th is a new musical that I've written called On Native Land. And this is a whole new original musical. And it is a story of identity and land, basically looking at how those things are interconnected. But it's all very new. So it's a chance for audiences to see a new musical that's in process, that's in development, and that really gives an opportunity for the audience to engage with me, the creator of it, and also the rest of the cast in that development. So there really will be something for everyone. And I'm just so, so excited that we're able to do the festival again.
Wow, I'm seeing images of grandeur. Tell me a bit about the process with the circus acts and musical. How many hours did it take you to develop something like that? I've never heard of anyone doing anything like that before.
Well, that's something that we really pride ourselves in, is trying to say, okay, this festival is built as a way to create opportunities for Indigenous artists to come together with non-Indigenous artists. And so that gives us a really great foundation to basically do so many different things and to rally around how do we want that collaboration to look like. So basically, we have all sorts of circus artists working with, for example, Cito Adamson is doing it's a hoop in the air, and she's actually collaborating with a powwow dancer named Notorious Cree. He's quite famous online. He has, I think, 1.2 million followers on Instagram and TikTok. Wow. And everything. So it's giving an opportunity to say, here's a circus artist using hoops and using different circus materials in a certain way. And then here's an Indigenous artist also using different, you know, regalia and traditional dance in a certain way. How will those intersect? What would that be like? And that's really what we're excited to see is really getting a chance to witness for the first time what all of those collaborations look like. So it really is an organic process, I guess, to answer the question quite, you know, directly. It's just about pairing individuals and different artists with their medium and then, you know, allowing them the time and space to create the best work possible.
It's an interesting playscape. And it seems like I'm imagining how your statement, igniting conversations that inspire social change, because a lot of times we give lip service to getting to know about other cultures or giving people opportunity, but really the things that will be locked into your brain after seeing these novel collaborations, I think it really will generate some conversations beyond the night of the event.
That's exactly it. I couldn't have said it better myself. And that I know that in the times when I felt most inspired by community is when we come together and have shared experiences. And I think that in a situation like this, those will be so unique that hopefully it will get people talking beyond the theater and really sharing some of those experiences with the broader community.
And I think even, you know, when I think back about land acknowledgements, everybody opens something and says, I gratefully acknowledge that my work takes place on this and blah, blah, blah. But this is really giving an opportunity to feel the taking part and feeling, you know, where are we going? What direction are we going beyond just acknowledging that our work takes place on?
Well, yeah, and I think that, so we've been working with Juelemia Sparrow, who's our protocol keeper for the festival since it began. And a big part of what Juelemia has focused on is exactly what you're saying, taking the conversation beyond acknowledgement and trying to find ways to learn more and learn about contemporary issues and learn about what is being done today. What are the conversations that we should be having and that we need to learn about today? And that's been something that has grown over the years. And I'm so thrilled that she's done so much with this. And it's like, it's about taking that conversation further. And so it's never meant to be, this is all of what we're going to do is an acknowledgement, but rather the acknowledgement is only the beginning and that we have so much more to do.
And it's on such a grand scale. Will there be times, intermission or times after the programs for people to talk? So if somebody is really inspired, is it set up so that there are opportunities for people to talk?
There are, on the opening bash night, there's going to be a giant after party at the Playhouse that everyone, you know, is welcome to and hopefully can be a place for sharing those ideas. And then also we have the closing night party on the last Saturday after the performance. So our hope is that people will actually be able to see multiple performances and really get a sense of all the different varieties that are out there in terms of, you know, people practicing their culture that might be more traditional, people practicing culture that's more contemporary and that is surprising that, you know, some of these acts are getting to be featured on such a grand stage. But I just think that all of those intersections that can happen with the artists and the community will happen at those opening and closing parties. So it's really trying to take back this stage as one for, you know, to create some of these lasting relationships.
Intergenerational relationships, what types of intergenerational things are happening within the festival?
Well, as part of the National Indigenous Veterans Day, we're having a gathering ahead of time for Indigenous veterans and all veterans, because it's a tight knit community. So that will be an opportunity for some of the Indigenous veterans to gather and socialize, and also feel like there's space being given for their history and for their stories to be told, as well as at the actual concert itself. We have a song by Russell Wallace, who is a local Indigenous composer, who is he has a song called Forgotten Warriors that is specifically dedicated and written for Indigenous veterans. And so all of these places are ways that we can bring together different generations, different communities, and really hold space for them. And I think as it relates to you know, Remembrance Day and Veterans Day, I think it's recognizing that in order to really understand the full picture of the history, we need to hold space for all different communities. And so that's part of it. And then another really wonderful highlight that I'd give around intergenerational work is in on Native land. So on November 9th, there's this musical that's being shown. And we have a wonderful actor named Tonin Lee Wright, who's definitely one of you know a leader in the community, but she's one of the older members of the cast, and she's working along artists who are in their 20s, and it's just wonderful to see that the intergenerational collaboration that's happening even within that cast. It gives us so much, and it's so inspiring, and I'm just so excited for audiences to get to witness her perform on stage. And so that's really special.
Is that, I was thinking maybe we might be able to hear a part of that. Is that an individual song or something that's just going to be released at the festival?
Do you mean for On Native Land?
Yes.
Yeah, so On Native Land, it's all still in development. So it's very much, there's nothing that's been released yet. It's all still in process. So none of that will be, you know, shared ahead of time. It's still, the production will probably happen in a couple of years. But there is a song called Gimekwendana that's going to be sung at the In Spirit concert. And that's one where we've actually sung that song. I've sung it with Corleone in the past. And it's a great example of a song that will be sung on the stage at the In Spirit concert. So that's on November 8th.
You're listening to Sister C's conversation with Corey Payette, curator of the Transform Festival, here on Speak Up, Listen Up, Act Upon on CJSF 90.1 FM. We'll be right back to Charlotte and Corey's conversation. But first, we're going to hear that song that Corey mentioned. This is Gimekwendana by Corey Payette with the Vancouver Youth Choir.
Say,
Dimequenden Ina by Corey Payette and the Vancouver Youth Choir here on Speak Up, Listen Up, Act Upon, where Systasy is mid-conversation with Corey Payette, who is also the curator of the Transform Festival, November 6th to 9th at the Vancouver Playhouse. And now back to their conversation.
If you were talking to someone who is debating going into the creative arts, particularly musicals, what would you say to them that has been the best way it's influenced your life?
Well, I think that for me, it was never an option not to. I think that ever since I've been a young person, this is something that I've always felt so drawn to, you know, starting as an actor and then becoming a musical director and a writer. They've all been parts of my storytelling that have just felt like very natural extensions. And so I would say for young artists, I would say, you know, don't force it and find a way to connect with what makes your voice unique. And why is it that you feel so drawn to this expression? And then no matter where that leads you, you will find fulfillment. And for me, it's been within, you know, creating Indigenous musicals. But for all different people, that might be, someone might be, it might be about basket weaving or dancing of some sort. So I think that can manifest in any certain way. But it is so fulfilling when you find that pocket for yourself where you just feel like you fit. And that's something that I think has given me great, great joy in my life.
What about mentorship? Should people seek a mentor? And are you aware of people who are mentors?
Yeah, I have many different artists that I have mentored and am mentoring, and I've also been mentored by so many people. So I think that's what's a beautiful thing about the arts, is that so many people, in order to get into it, have needed to be, you know, pulled up by others. And so I think that's such a wonderful thing to seek out wherever possible and at whatever age. I still feel like there are moments where, even as I've developed my career, where I am looking for that mentorship for myself and looking for someone who's a little bit further along and who can help to give me some of that guidance. So it never stops. It's always, you know, it's always just about learning and trying to be better.
So it sounds like you are pretty passionate about this. Do you think this is your life purpose? Or how do you see, do you think people have a life purpose?
Wow, what a great question. I don't even know that I know what my life's purpose is. But when I feel like I've hit it right is when I have written something that is so deeply personal or deeply connected to a certain character's experience, and that then resonates so strongly with others. And that's where it may be something very specific to me when I was writing it, but the universality of it and how that helps to impact people in their lives, you know. And a good example of that is this song that I was telling you about, called Gimmickwendina. I have taught that song to many choirs and many singers over the course of my career all over the world. And I recently heard from a young singer that said that, so they were taught that song, and when I teach it to people, I say, this is yours now. This is your music. It is a gift. It's a gift of song. And one of the singers told me that when she was grieving a loved one who had passed, she went into the forest and she sat down and sang this song as a way to hold space for this loved one who had passed, and that it made her feel better. And she shared that with her family and they sang it together. That's something that, when I was writing that music, I had no idea that it would have that kind of deep resonance with people in their lives in terms of whatever they're going through. But I think that's when I have felt like well, that's what I'm here to do. That's what I am meant to do, is to gift music, to gift stories, to gift all these certain stories to people, that maybe that will help them in whatever they're dealing with in their lives. And that really is the purpose, really is my purpose, I should say.
Yeah, I think when you were talking about these large scale productions, just seeing the passion that goes behind it, a person doesn't just one day sit down and do it, but you have to have had layers and layers of passion, and other people who caught your vision. How do you find the community, musical community, production community, in terms of working together? You know, movies always show people are fighting the dissolution, but what has been your experience like working on these beat sheets of the inner relationships and communication?
Theater is a collaborative medium. You know, it's very much about how well do you work with others. It's nothing happens alone. You know, even this on Native Land that I'm currently working on, we have a team of like 25, 30 people who are all building this with me and alongside me. So there might be that larger vision that I'm able to provide to a performance, but it comes from a great deal of collaboration and of so many different artistic minds coming together to make that a reality. So it's actually kind of the opposite of it being a singular one person doing it all. That might be where the vision begins, but it takes a village to really bring it to life.
And it seems like some shifts that are happening, because on the one hand you hear how there's a lot of mean speak, people aren't talking to each other, but in these opening and closing events, it just pays testimony to a lot of people had to get along and talk together in a positive way in order for that to happen. Do you have scheduled sessions or any types of things where people just sit and talk through the relationships that go behind these big productions?
Well, I hope that will happen as part of the November 9th event that we have. So after the sharing of On Native Land, we're going to have a conversation with the audience and me and the rest of the cast and creative team. And so I really hope that that is a place for those discussions to happen, and that audiences who attend that work will be able to bring all their questions and all their, you know, ideas of what they might be interested in hearing from us as a, you know, group of artists who are right in the middle of a creative process.
That's wonderful, because sometimes you go to an event and they pick 8 people out of the whole cast, and you can ask the 8 people questions, and then it's like the people are itching to go home. So, I mean, this sounds just amazing that people will have the time to talk and ask questions and
And we encourage it. You know, I think also when I introduce that event, it's framed as being this is in process. And so hopefully as people are watching it, they can be thinking about those questions and thinking about different aspects of the production that will be further realized in the future.
Can you tell us more about the Indigenous artists that are being featured within these productions?
We have, like I was saying, Venus, who's headlining our bash, but also Pilk Silk, who are this Inuk throat singing and electroacoustic music. Notorious Cree, who's a brilliant dancer, powwow dancer, who's super popular online, as well as a dancer choreographer named Jera Wolf, who's from Toronto and who's going to be featured throughout the festival, is both performing and choreographing in multiple different performances. And then we have a whole group. We have a number of different actors. I would say half of the cast. So our cast is 13 of On Native Land, and about half are Indigenous artists featured. Some of them will be familiar to audiences who have seen some of my other work, like Dylan Chiblo, Caitlin Yacht, Aaron Wells, Winona Miles. I was mentioning Tonin Lee Wright before. who are all bringing with them so much depth of character and artistry behind their performances. So it's a huge, it's a gigantic cast and festival. And yeah, we're just so excited for audiences to get to see it all.
Where is it slated to go anywhere else from here, or will you continue workshopping and developing it in Vancouver?
Well, the Transform Festival is going to come back again in 2025, so we're planning that again. The other thing I wanted to make sure I mentioned is that we also have free tickets available to Indigenous people. So by using the code Indigenous at checkout, you'll get 2 free tickets. And if you want to bring more people, Indigenous people can reach out to outreach@theculch.com and get groups to be able to come for free. So it's very exciting. It's trying to break down those barriers and make sure that the access is there and that we really have a strong presence from the community.
Yeah, that's unheard of. I mean, you don't hear that every day, I should say.
Yeah.
What about, since you have youth, do you have anything that involves the parents of the youth in developing or preparing for a program like this?
I wouldn't say the parents of the youth, but a lot of, like, for example, with Vancouver Youth Choir, over the years, I've gone in and done different teaching, education around songs, around the history of certain songs, around how those songs came to be, and the different characters that the stories are expressing. And so what's fantastic is that there's all that knowledge that's been developed over many years of learning this music, and that now is a time where that's all going to be, you know, shared. So it's really exciting. We're so excited. What that one of the songs will have about 150 singers singing it at the concert. So on November 8th, that will be a real momentous event.
It's going to really make Remembrance Day memorable. What can you say, the research that was done on Indigenous veterans, where did you, or who did you draw upon for that research?
Well, I don't know. It's every artist and composer who's bringing work to the program has a different perspective that they're bringing. So each song will have a different perspective that it's sharing. And then some of them are also... like where, you know, I was mentioning before about Russell Wallace having this song Forgotten Warriors. But then other songs, like that one is very, very specific about veterans and his experience and his knowledge and research that he did in developing that. But then some of them are simple, like, for example, the piece Cold Isn't Permanent from a musical called Les Filles du Roi that I wrote. And that's a song where it's about recognizing, you know, the impermanence of things and the renewal and growth. And so there's a lot of different themes that relate to different veterans' experiences that I know and have heard from people over the years where that will hold a great resonance with their experience. And so I think it's about matchmaking and figuring out, okay, what is the best song to best articulate that feeling? And so that's how we've gone about crafting the program.
Because when I think back, you know, about previous Remembrance Day programs, I can't remember anyone playing any song or doing a tribute to Indigenous veterans. It's like... It feels like you're going to feel a gap.
Yeah, for sure, for sure.
Was that intentional, or are you looking, are there other ways that you'll be making people aware of the program, or so that they can listen out or tag it among the things that they're going to do over Remembrance Day?
Absolutely. Well, we have a whole team of people who are doing outreach related to each separate program, and absolutely Indigenous veterans are included in that, and also giving special focus to that community, because exactly like what you said, I think a lot of times Remembrance Day focuses on veterans just generally, but I think that a lot of people have forgotten about Indigenous people's contribution to different efforts historically, and so this gives us it's not trying to say like anyone is wrong for doing that. Obviously, Indigenous veterans are lumped into the other Remembrance Day activities because they contributed, but I think it just gives a moment to acknowledge that history and to give special mention to those Indigenous soldiers who fought so courageously for us. So it really is an opportunity to just hold space for that very specific part of the history. And it's nice too that it happens a couple days before Remembrance Day, just so that obviously there are so many events surrounding Remembrance Day that are really important. And but I think having it on November 8th gives it a sort of special significance, especially this year with this concert.
Definitely. Not picking on you about veterans, but does it include anything about women veterans? You rarely hear during Remembrance Day anything about a small amount about women's veterans, but nothing about Indigenous women veterans. Do you know whether that occurs, or is any part of the song that would direct people to thinking about that or recognizing that?
Yeah, I don't know that anything is specific to women or men. I think it's just Indigenous. Well, when I know the song Forgotten Warriors, like warriors isn't a gendered term, so I think it is meant to be everyone. But I'm really hopeful that we will have women Indigenous veterans attend, and certainly that's definitely worthy of mention as well, I think. And something that also that we're thinking about too is also the intergenerational aspect of it as well. So like family members, young people, like children, grandchildren of Indigenous veterans, to try to bring everyone in, just because I know that they need that space as well, right? Like there's so much that's passed down intergenerationally, and having that moment to be able to hold space and pause will be really, really special.
No, I think it'll be important because it's just being missed. And so it's something else that families, relatives, people can, they might be, may not be a medal, or there might be something in the house that they don't recognize, because if it's there, but it wasn't mentioned in any of the ceremonies, or Indigenous veterans were not, honored, then the children just don't think, oh, we were a part of building, or we were a part of securing democracy. We were a part of that. So I think it's really, as it says, it's creating conversations.
Absolutely.
That we really need, because there's so many things that, so many people who say nothing is happening and everything is just mean speech. And this is just such a dramatic evidence of positive speech, so many levels that, the festival is going to be touching.
Yeah, and it's also not trying to say that this is the be all and end all. Our real hope is what we were talking about before, is that this acts as a catalyst,
right,
for change, as a starting place for people. And I think that not seeing this as being the thing that is the solution, right? It's more so that this then inspires people to think more broadly and to maybe include more perspectives in the future. So I think that's also part of our ability to think really boldly about how we're programming, because we recognize that once that hits an audience, once that is inspiring a community, who knows where we'll be in 5 years.
Right. And a song, well, I like your eyes. Igniting and inspiring. And with that, igniting and inspiring, it just builds bridges, because you've set such a beautiful template that people can follow, and seemingly, you know, bringing together people who haven't been together before, they probably will continue because they're finding, well, this is a good experience. And, you know, I'd love to just see the expressions that will be on people's faces as they leave the different events.
Mm-hmm. So, and putting that good medicine out there, really recognizing that that there is a web of connection that we all have, and that when those connections are good and when we have an opportunity to have these experiences that build relationships, that only helps to make better relationships even outside of the theater and within communities that maybe haven't even experienced our work.
You're listening to Systasy's conversation with Corey Payette, the curator of the Transform Festival, which happens November 6th to 9th at the Vancouver Playhouse. We'll be right back to their conversation, but first we're going to hear a track by Pilk Silk, who are one of the performing artists at the Transform Festival. This is Nuna to Kilak, Land to Sky, by Pilk Silk.
Thank you.
Tuna Tokilak Land to Sky by Pilk Silk here on Speak Up, Listen Up, Act Upon, where Sista C is interviewing Corey Payette, the curator of the Transform Festival, which happens November 6th to 9th at the Vancouver Playhouse. And now back to their conversation.
Okay, well, Richard and Regina have just come onto the line. Imaginary people. But will you go back again and just highlight the things that are happening across the festival? Transform mm-hmm. Festival, transforming you daily.
Yeah. Well, so tickets are available at transformfestival.ca. The opening performance is it's called the Opening Night Bash. That's hosted by our protocol keeper, Hwilemia Sparrow from the Musqueam Nation, and also co-hosted by the Canada's Drag Race Season 4 winner, Venus. And then that features bands like Pilk Silk, dancer, Métis dancer and choreographer Jera Wolf, also Notorious Cree, who's a huge dancer and personality on Instagram and TikTok. On November 7th, that's our circus ball. And so that's hosted by Ralph Escamillan and features circus artists collaborating with ballroom, like voguing style dancing. Promised to be such a great time, a really unique event. On the Friday, November 8th, that's the In Spirit, a concert for heroes. And that's a concert that I'll be hosting that is a day to honor national Indigenous veterans. And so that whole concert is going to be featuring Corleone and Vancouver Youth Choir, featuring Indigenous composers, songs by people like Russell Wallace and myself. Who will be singing and holding space for this important day and honoring Indigenous veterans. And then the final day on November 9th is the special workshop sharing of On Native Land. And this is a musical that I've been writing for the last 5 years. It's a musical that intersects identity, Indigenous identity, and also land, and looks at how those two things are interconnected. And we'll be sharing that on the Saturday night, November 9th. And that will be followed by a conversation with myself and the rest of the company around, well, hopefully different feedback that people have around the piece, but also a real opportunity to come together and have a discussion, build relationships. And then there will be a closing night party as well as an opening night party. So chances for people to talk about the work and also to connect about what else is happening. So it promises to be an amazing event. Oh, and the other thing is Indigenous people get free tickets with the code Indigenous, putting it into the box office at checkout. If they want to come with more people, so if any sort of group wants to come, they can reach out to outreach@theculch.com and they'll be able to access group tickets, free tickets for Indigenous people. So we want to make sure that there are no barriers to access and really make sure that we get as many people at the Playhouse as possible. So excited.
I'm so excited. Now, you said, what's the site that they go to buy the tickets?
Transformfestival.ca.
Yeah, I wanted to make sure to get that, or people will be calling our station, where is it that you buy the tickets? But transformfestival.ca.
Wonderful.
Well, I thank you for coming on and sharing so much information about something that just sounds phenomenal.
It's so great to meet you, and I really am so grateful for this conversation. I feel very, very, like, my heart is full. Thank you so much.
Yeah, well, my imagination is full. I look forward to coming and seeing all these different things, and just the way that you have described it, it's not something that will just be like you see a movie, and then that's it until people make the follow-up next year. I think it is going to inspire lots of conversations and new perspectives. So thank you so much. And my show is called Saluau, and it stands for My Guest and I Speak Up, so you can listen up and act upon what you've heard.
I love it.
So you've given us lots of things to think about. And, you know, when people ask me what time it is, I say our show comes on Friday mornings at 10. But in truth, it's always love time, poem time. Love.
Oh,
time.
I love that.
Poem time. Love time. Poem time. Love time. Poem time. Time for words from heaven to shine. Love time. Poem time. Time for words to pattern and rhyme. Love time. Poem time. Time for words to wash the wounds, bind the lashes, and play bassoon. Love time, poem time. Time for poems, poets, and singers. Time to untie all life's ringers. Poem time, love time. Time for you to reveal to me. Unravel all your mystery. Time for joy and utter grace. Rest from toiling in this place. Place of poems, place of words. Place for love instead of swords. Love time, poem time. Poem time, love time. Love time, poem time. Times for words from heaven to shine. Love time, poem time. Time for words to pattern and rhyme. Love time, poem time. Times for words to wash the wounds, bind the lashes and play bassoon. Love time, poem time. Poem time, love time. Time for poems, poets, singers. Time to untie all life's ringers. Time for you to reveal to me. Unravel all your mystery. Time for joy and utter grace. Rest from toiling in this place. Place of poems, place of words. Place for love instead of swords. Love time, poem time. Poem time, love time. Love time, poem time. Poem time, love time. Love time, poem time. Poem time, love time. Love time, poem time.